Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back, guys. 306 KMOX. So the Derek Chauvin trial is still going on. They're doing closing arguments. The guys are just asking me some questions on the break. Mm-hmm. I know it's a huge case. I know that it's complicated, but it's ridiculous that it takes hours to do a closing argument. I have been a part of some very big cases, and you get 30 minutes.
Yeah.
And 30 minutes is plenty of time. The jury sat through everything.
Right.
They heard it all.
It's at least 3 hours right now, right? And yeah. Still going.
Yeah. It's just dumb. Kevin Wheeler's segment is sponsored by the Good Feet Store, comfort, energy, performance, and pain relief at the Good Feet Store. Hello, Kev.
What's up, guys? Man, I take 3 hours just to get off a hot sports take, so, man, I kind of understand why.
Yeah, maybe so. Maybe I'm just, maybe I'm an abbreviator. I don't know. I've delivered my share, but I've seen so many closing arguments, and we've all done this. We've all, like, emceed an event or something, and you can tell when you lose people.
Yep.
Yeah. Once you lose people, right. You don't get them back.
Right.
And there's zero chance that they didn't lose the jury, their audience, during it.
Well, and like you said, they've already, it's not like he needs they've 3 hours to present his case.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's already done that. They've already given all their evidence and talked to the witnesses. So they're just,
you know what it is, though?
Repeating themselves.
It's fear. We all live in fear. And we do so many dumb things because we're afraid. And these attorneys, I will diagnose it, are afraid to do a 30-minute closing that has impact because they're afraid, well, what if the other guy goes for 4 hours and I get criticized because I only went for 30? That's what it is. It's why we do so many stupid things in life. We're afraid that we're going to look dumb if we don't take all the time. Rach used to book my personal speaking engagements, and they would book me for an hour. I never went over 20 minutes because no one wants anything. Over 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
They think they do. They don't. So, anyway. Kev, catch us up with the sports over the weekend.
Well, it was, from the Cardinals' perspective, pretty bumpy. They had one really good game in Philadelphia. They had a couple that were, let's just say not great. And it's kind of the same thing right now. Like, you get these fits and starts where you'll have a game where you score 14 runs and then you don't score for a couple days. You'll have a game where you score 9 runs and then you don't score the next day. So from the Cardinals' perspective, that's the kind of the way it played out. And let's be honest, you know, this is so early in the year. It's one of the things that's tough, guys, is that, you know, you only have this small amount, right? I don't know if you've ever talked to players. I know you know Mark Bulger really well. It's a little different in football because each game is a bigger deal. But, you know, baseball players talk about numbers, right? And early in the year, there's nothing worse than looking up and seeing a 1 or a 0 on the scoreboard at the start of your batting average, right? But everybody has two crappy weeks at some point during the year. It's just that when they're the first couple of weeks, it's the worst part and it's most frustrating because the numbers look terrible.
I thought about that. It was like the third game and someone was like 0 for 10.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, that's the kind of thing that would get in my head so bad.
Yeah, and guys, they say it does. I mean, like, I think every guy's a little different, but I mean, I've definitely talked to players, coaches, managers that say that the month of April is the worst if you get off to a bad start.
Yeah.
You know, if you have a decent start or a great start, you'll have your 0 for 20 in June, but nobody will care because they'll look up and they'll still see 280.
Yep.
Or a relief pitcher comes into a game and his ERA is like 25 and a half.
Yeah.
like look at Ryan Helsley as an example, right? Ryan Helsley has an ERA of 6 right now, which for a reliever is crappy, right?
Right.
But it's because he had one bad game in the second game. He gave up, what, four of the six runs he's allowed were in that one third of an inning. So other than that, he's got like a two ERA. But because he's got the one, it just looks bad.
Kev, who is the guy that was pitching and throwing 46 miles an hour over the weekend?
That was Astudillo for the Twins. Yeah.
And what's the deal with that?
Well, this was, he's a position player. He's the third string catcher on the team. He's a pinch hitter. He can move around. And it was a bad blowout game. They didn't want to waste any more of their bullpen, so they put him out there, and he decided to be silly and throw the ball 46 miles an hour. It was pretty funny, man. I mean, you know, you'll see, like, people that watch closely, like, Zach Greinke does that once in a while. I mean, this guy is probably a Hall of Fame pitcher, and he's been doing this for a long time. And normally, you know, he's a little less than what he used to be, but he's still, you know, he's getting up to, he's near Waino's age, but and he throws about 90 miles an hour normally, but he'll flip some curveballs up there at, like, 50. 52, just to mess with hitters, and that's what this guy was doing. He figured, well, if this is going to be ugly and stupid, it might as well be funny.
I've always wondered, because, you know, at my level of baseball, the coach would always say, throw strikes, and you're going to get people out.
Yeah.
Especially if you have a pretty good defense behind you. And I've always wondered if there was a major league pitcher who just threw strikes. Would he just get shelled? If he was throwing 85-mile-an-hour strikes all the time?
Yes.
Yes, you'd be destroyed. Now, it's all about the quality of the pitch, right? Like, so if we flash back a ways, Jamie Moyer pitched for like 24 years. And for like the last few years, he was in his 40s and he was throwing like 83, 84. But it was also with pinpoint accuracy. Like, he's putting it where he wants to based on what the hitter's good at or what he's bad at. I mean, usually you're avoiding the good and attacking the bad. So, yeah, if you just went up there and threw 80 in the middle of the zone, forget it. It's over.
Right.
But you can survive if you're able to move in and out, up, down, and then subtract from it, right? Because even if you're throwing something slow for their level at 83, 84, you know, 65 will still mess up the timing.
Position players pitching in a blowout in Major League Baseball is one of the most fun things in all of professional sports.
I didn't know
sports.
It happened that much.
It doesn't.
It doesn't, but it happens a couple times a year. Hmm. It doesn't.
Oh, yeah,
it doesn't,
yeah.
You know, it doesn't
more
go,
than that.
Yeah, exactly. So it does happen enough that you get to talk about it. When you think of Cardinals, Kevin, position players that impressed you pitching.
Yeah.
Who do you think of?
So,
I have a name.
Which one you got?
Skip Schumacher.
Yeah, I was going to say, Skip was the one. We were up in the press box when Skip got to pitch for the first time. And for people who don't know, Skip,
he was humping him like 92 miles an hour.
Yeah, he's up there on the mound. Most position players get up there, and even if they're trying to throw hard, it's like 84, 82, 80. And Schumacher gets up there, and here comes 92. And we were like, what? He's got 92? That's pretty big. Yeah, and some outfielders have that. A few, like, shortstops and third basemen, like Arenado, can probably dial it up. But most of them, they're not stupid, right? So when they go up there, they're not trying to hurt themselves. They're just trying to flip it up there. And typically, you're going to put a guy up there that's not a star. Anyway.
Any other names come to mind? Who was the guy that hurt himself? Felipe Lopez, right? Didn't he?
Yeah, Felipe Lopez hurt himself doing it. Aaron Miles was like Mr. Reliable when it came to that.
That's right.
Yeah, he'd be the guy that went up there and just kind of flipped it over the plate and let him hit it.
I love that stuff.
I would be, as a batter, I would rather face Adam Wainwright than face Schumacher from the standpoint of getting hit.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Because
I
have a better chance of Schumacher hitting me in the hip at 92 miles an hour than Wainwright.
Yes, that 100%. And that's why when most of the time when you get to that position player pitching thing, usually it's just kind of a clown show, right? It's silly. You go up there and you have fun with it. You flip it up there, nice and easy. And if they hit it, they hit it, and nobody laughs. But yeah, when you get someone serious like Skip, who's actually bringing 90 plus, and he's not a pitcher, yeah, I'd be worried about getting smoked.
Yeah. Anything else in the world of sports, Kev?
Well, I mean, we could talk about the Blues if you want, but it's not been particularly pleasant. They didn't play very well against Arizona, and they've fallen out of a playoff spot now. So they're a point out of the playoffs, but they do have two games in hand on Arizona, so they can make up that point. But with 12 games left, actually 13 games left, they got some work to do, man. It's every time I think it's starting to get better, it just kind of, they have a clunker, and then you're like, all right, maybe it's not getting better.
Yeah.
Are they hurt, Kev, or this is just who they are? Like, if they're right, can they make a playoff run? Or is this team just what it is, and it's maybe not that good right now?
I'm probably the wrong person to ask, because at the beginning of the year, I really like this team. I think they have a lot of ability and a lot of diverse talent. But they are mostly healthy now. Mm-hmm. I mean, most of the people that they were counting on are back, and they still can't find it. So, I think a lot of those people that were out are still trying to find their way and get back to being the former version of themselves. So if you got that done, I talked to Doug Armstrong, I don't know, maybe 3-4 weeks ago, and we talked a bit about, you know, mid-April to late April, if you could finally get everybody, like, together and figure it out, you could be dangerous for a playoff run. So there's still time for that to be shown, but right now it's not looking good.
Cool. Thank you, Kev. Appreciate it.
See you.
Welcome back, guys. 320 DGS. We don't have our zoo news yet, do we?
No.
We keep...
Let me try to hit it again. It's probably the commercial.
Earning your PhD.
Yeah, we'll just make that it's about news. Earning your PhD.
Yeah, we'll just make that.
I'm doing it right.
Do it again.
I'm just not doing the beginning. PhD the beginning does something.
Okay, you do it.
And then it sets in.
Do it again.
Did you guys hear that?
They're the Munsters.
Yeah. The singing?
Did you not hit anything?
No, I... Hold on. I did this.
Yeah.
And then I hit this, and they came back up. I swear I heard the actual music in my earbuds.
It was so good.
You were that... Do it again.
I was that good.
Do it again.
To be honest, it was when Dave kicked in that you said, did you hear that? So maybe it was the harmonizing that really...
Rach, you just have what we call an experience.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hold on.
Tony and I are both lead singers in a band.
Yeah, we have bands.
So it's probably what it was.
It's got to be.
This is going to make me crazy. I'm going to go back and listen to the podcast because I could hear something.
Okay, here are my stories.
We're just that good. Yes, sir.
A sweet one, and then a proposal.
Okay.
So there's a police officer. I don't know where. I'm sorry. That's not me. That's the rest of the station. I'm a headlines kind of guy. There's a police officer who had the world's smallest canine, official canine dog. It was a Chihuahua mix, and he was great. He would attack people. He could get into tight little places. He was a drug-sniffing dog, and he lived with the officer. So they spent 24 hours a day together for 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a uniformed officer. He was an official officer of this precinct.
Mm-hmm.
And the gentleman passed away from cancer, and the dog passed away hours later of natural causes.
Mm-hmm. Sadness.
Sweet.
Sadness.
Yeah. So they buried them. They're going either did or are going to bury them together. I thought they're just very, very sweet.
That is.
They were just best friends. Her name was Midge. And then my proposal is this. Another idiot got into an elephant enclosure at a zoo.
Oh,
here's my proposal.
What is going on?
Make this a law. From now on, so long as there are no children, we just lock the door.
Whatever happens, happens.
Yeah, you want to get in. You want to go see the elephants or the monkeys or the jaguars, go ahead, but we're locking the door behind you. No one will ever do it again.
As long as they
I'd be a
are,
great leader.
As long as they are, as they do everything that they are supposed to do by their policy to protect, to keep people, like to have the right enclosure. If a person does that, should the zoo be held accountable in any way?
No.
Mm-mm.
No.
Let's pass that law.
Yeah. It's not as much fun as my law, but I see where you're going with
it. We can start with that.
Yeah, it's okay.
Yeah.
Dave wants to turn it into the Thunderdome.
But no, Tony, you're right. Like, there should be... But back to my original point.
Unless there's a door that lets you walk into the lion cage.
It's a great time to be a plaintiff's attorney because if someone did climb a 15-foot fence and get eaten by a lion, an attorney would sue and said it should have been 20. And they would settle and they'd give them millions of dollars. That's just the way it is.
Ugh. And then they'd kill the animal.
Yeah.
Yeah, was an elephant harmed in this case?
No.
Okay.
No. Do you know there's a shortage on right now? Garden gnomes.
Oh, my
you
goodness.
You want to know why? It's going to freak you out.
Because they are coming to life and disappearing.
There was a Goosebumps book about garden gnomes that came to life and were terrorizing the neighborhood, and it scared me so bad as a kid.
Goosebumps was no kidding around.
Mm-mm. It was legit scary.
Yeah. No, there were so many container vessels of garden gnomes waiting to get through the Suez Canal.
Oh, no.
Oh, my goodness.
Can you imagine even one? Like, you open up one of those big-ass things, and there are just thousands of garden gnomes? So I guess, like, 90% of the garden gnomes in the world have been held up because of the Suez Canal.
I can't think of ever seeing a garden gnome in a store.
Hmm.
I don't know where
to go. Going to the wrong stores or the right stores.
Where would you? A hardware store?
Lowe's, maybe?
I go to a lot of hardware stores.
Klein knows. He's holding back. He wants to hit the button.
I go to a lot of hardware stores.
Lowe's, Home Depot. You see him there. Yeah.
Really?
My kids love
them. Maybe I'm just not noticing them.
Yeah.
I go to.
What do they love about them?
I think that it's probably their size, so they can kind of talk to them. So I think that's what they like them.
That's where I got Choppy.
I used to love the.
Yeah.
Wasn't it revealed that these are racist, the little, like, jockey guys?
Oh, yeah.
The statues.
The lawn jockeys, for
sure.
Yeah.
But I used to love those as a kid.
Those are racist?
Wow.
I don't know. I heard they were, but I couldn't tell you why.
Because they're black and they're, like, a servant and throwback to a horrible pastime.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
See, I didn't know that when I was little.
I didn't know that either. I didn't know that now.
You guys are monsters. Right. You want to,
I guess so.
This kind of, to me, this really sums up humanity. This is on my fun facts page. While the Large Hadron Collider was trying to simulate the Big Bang, it had to be shut down temporarily because a bird flew by and dropped a piece of baguette into it. So they're trying to find the Higgs boson God particle.
Right.
And everyone, remember back then, everyone was worried that they're going to create a miniature black hole and end life?
Mm-hmm. That's what I was just thinking.
And a bird flew by and dropped some baguette in it, and they're like, stop the presses!
Yeah. What if they just recreate the Big Bang? And we start all over.
Yeah, right.
Okay, Brad and Joe on Twitter said that they heard the Zoo News sounder at the very end, too.
They're crazy.
Thank you, guys.
That is the ghost.
Really,
it's not Tony.
That means a lot.
It was a true ghost in the machine.
Let's do it again.
Yeah, it's not. It wasn't.
Listen,
it was literally when he kicked in that you
close
said.
Okay. You're going to hear it.
Go ahead and harmonize for me.
Go ahead. We're the monsters and we look like monsters.
No, it was the beginning. You know how it's like at the beginning.
Did you just hit the button?
Shut up.
Did you hit the button again? I swear I just heard it.
I really heard it, and Joe and Brad heard it too.
I heard it just now.
I just heard it.
3:35 DGS. Chet Cleveland joins us to catch us up on the Chauvin trial. Hello, Chet.
Hello, Dave. How are you?
Good. So I'm getting a lot of questions from friends and the guys here. You're much better equipped to answer this. In general, I know that this is a big case, but in the real world, first of all, attorneys don't give four-hour closing statements. And then people are also asking, is it common to do the prosecution, defense, and a rebuttal? So if you could just handle those two first.
Yeah, let's start with the second question first. It is routine to have the prosecutor go first with the argument, then the defense counsel goes, and then the prosecutor goes ahead and finishes up. So he gets the last word. The reason for that is because the prosecution bears the burden of proof. And that's typical in most jurisdictions that I've been in. As far as the time, this is what, a 2-week trial. I think the amount of time that this judge is allowing is excessive, frankly. Finally, after about 2.5 hours of the defense arguing, the judge said we need a luncheon break. So he cut them off, and then they went to lunch. That sometimes doesn't help. You know, when you're going ad nauseum, and the jurors lose interest. Apparently, they were moving around a little bit, so he kind of called a little halt, and they went out for a half hour lunch. Usually, what you have is for a 2-week trial, maybe you might get an hour and a half for each side. Both sides get the same amount of time. It's just that they can divide up their time, and the defense can't divide up that time. But this, I think they could be going on until next week. Apparently, I didn't hear anything where they were limited as to time.
So, what are your thoughts? I'm sure you've watched most of it. What do you think?
I've watched all of it. The rebuttal portion of the state's closing is happening now. But I thought the defense. I was interested more in what the defense had to say to counter what the 38 witnesses that the prosecution put on. What they were going to say about it. And I think he did a very good job. He focused on two issues. One was the authorized use of force by a police officer, and the second one was the cause of death. The two issues that permeated the trial from the defense point of view. He talked about the reasonable force, and he talked about you have to judge that based upon the totality of the circumstances. What did the police know at the time? And he focused that on the what a reasonable police officer would do under the same or similar circumstances. Now, he had 9 minutes and 29 seconds that he had to deal with. And so what he did was he went back and talked about, well, this was a priority call from the very beginning. He was under the influence, according to the dispatcher. And then Chauvin was asked to assist, but then that was canceled. And then he was reassigned again based upon another priority because they were having trouble with this guy. So he focused also a lot of the time, not so much on the 9 minutes and 29 seconds, but on the fact that the prosecution ignored really the 17 minutes that preceded that, which included two rookies, or actually three total police officers, including Chauvin, trying to get this guy into the police vehicle in order to arrest him, to take him off and book him. And that wasn't enough force. And so consequently, they had to take him out and put him on the ground. With respect to the crowd, this was an interesting argument that he made there. He talked about perspective versus perception. How someone sees it is perspective. Perception is how you interpret it. And then what he did was he went back through some of the testimony of the folks in the crowd talking about, well, here's how they saw it, but this was how they interpreted what their perception was. And he made a very interesting point as it relates to those police officers, including the defendant, knew that they were being recorded. They knew that their own body cameras were recording every single thing that they did. And they also knew that some of the people in the crowd were recording. He said, and so why would you intend to commit a criminal act when you know that you're being recorded? He said that when 8 minutes and 25 seconds, which is what Dr. Tobin said, George Floyd breathed his last breath. And he said, this is what was happening at that point in time. And he focused, he ran the video. And what you see in the video, which I didn't see before, and the video, of course, is in evidence, is that the defendant was reacting to the crowd because the crowd was getting closer. Hanson, and I believe she was the paramedic, was walking in from behind him, and he reacts by pulling his mace out of his jacket or his holster and kind of waving it around or shaking it up. And so at that point in time, at 8 minutes and 8:25 and 16 seconds, he wasn't focused on the neck of George Floyd. Rather, he was focused on the hostility of the crowd as he perceived it coming toward him.
Hey, Chet.
Yeah.
Before we run out of time, I want to make sure I ask you this today. When when the jury gets this case, finally, how long do you predict that they'll take? And I said earlier, I thought manslaughter and third-degree murder were almost a certainty. Second degree murder, I don't know. I don't have full understanding of what needs to be proved, but you know, that would be my one spot that maybe he wouldn't be found guilty on. What do you think?
I'm going to say that probably 2 days. I believe that the deliberation will take. I think that you know, you have 8 whites, 4 blacks, to two multiracial people on that jury. We live, whether we like it or we don't, we live in a race-based world. I think that the closing argument for the defendant was good today. And I think that there may very well be a compromise verdict. You have a nurse, remember, on that jury. She is an ICU nurse and a cardiology nurse. She's going to control what happens there. And when you take a look at it and you talk about the cause of death, they're just saying it was asphyxiation. But all these other factors, the heart disease, the hypertension, the excited delirium, all those combinations had nothing whatsoever to do with it. It's a little hard to believe. And so I think that what they may do in a race-based world, unfortunately, when you have 8 white folks, 4 black folks, and 2 multiracial, and we don't know which 2 are going to be eliminated as the alternates. That's going to occur before they start the deliberation. But in all events, I believe that you're going to have a white majority in the final jury. I think that what may very well occur is that there'll be some that want manslaughter, some that want murder second, and I think that potentially they could compromise on murder third degree.
So, Chad, what about that? What if they agree on the middle charge and they cannot agree on second degree murder? Then is it just, okay, well, he's guilty of the middle charge, or would it be a hung jury?
No, it would be that he's guilty of third degree murder, the middle charge, and essentially they would find that there's not enough evidence to convict him of murder second, and not enough evidence or they don't want to convict him of the manslaughter. So you're only going to have to pick one of the 3. So they will conclude that they'll eliminate murder 2, and then it'll be between murder third and manslaughter. Both of which, you know, when you look at the jury instructions, I mean, they're pretty close. They're pretty close. The, you know, murder third is that depravity of mind thing without regard for human life, performing a dangerous act, and manslaughter is simply culpable negligence. You know, the murder second is felonious assault, and it's felony murder that he intended to assault him. That's what caused his death, but the murder was unintentional. The murder itself was unintentional. It's just that the felonious assault was what was intended, and that resulted in his death. So when you look at all of them, you know, I think it's a toss-up. I don't think he's going to be acquitted all the way down the line, but I can see where there will be a compromise. I can see people being strong holdouts for one charge or another, and they meet in the middle so as to avoid a hung jury.
All right, well, we'll talk to you either way tomorrow. Thanks, Chet.
You bet.
Yeah, I was kind of thinking the other way. I thought it might be like an O.J. Simpson thing where it would be 45 minutes, an hour, 2 hours. But, I mean, he makes a point. We'll see. 353 DGS. I'm out of here at 4:30 tonight because I'm going to see Phoebe's probably one and only lacrosse game this year. Good night for it.
Perfect.
Could have been tomorrow.
Before the blizzard tomorrow.
Yeah, right. We'll find out about the blizzard tomorrow coming up at the top of the hour. Dave Murray's going to join us. The guys are going to take it from 4:30 to 5. And then we are out at 5 and turn it over to Kevin Wheeler for the pregame show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can't wait to hear Dave's take on the snow.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Dave Klein, what time is Paranormal Tuesday at 4 p.m. tomorrow? Because we're out at 5.
Still working on that. Okay. I believe it might be, because of their schedule, might have to be 3.
We'll just lie to them and say 4.
Yeah. We'll
these,
lie and
these
say
people,
4.
They don't know
4
anything.
Eastern.
4 Eastern.
3 Central.
Yeah.
Right. It depends on their
Look,
schedule.
Look, we can change it at the last minute. What are they going to do?
Right.
Say they're never going to listen again on Twitter?
Yeah.
Okay.
Been there, done that.
Yeah. I stopped being threatened by that pretty early. So tomorrow is Paranormal Tuesday, 3 or 4 p.m. Just listen the whole time. And I know who's going to be on. And it's great. So this guy named Shane is a judge, and he tells a story. He now is, Tony, probably your age, and he tells a story of when he was 15 years old in Ohio, and he grew up in the country, and he went for a run at 10 at night and ran into a dog man. This is the one that was in the corn, and Andrew said, oh, so it was a corn dog man, and I laughed so hard, and I wish I had said that because it was really funny. So I heard that again last night, and Dave contacted him because he has his own podcast, and he's going to be on tomorrow.
Nice.
It is such a good story.
Mm-hmm.
The main reason that I believe that Sasquatch exists, I'm iffy on the dog man, is that I've heard 500 accounts. And I feel like I have a pretty good BS meter.
Yeah.
I'm sure I've been fooled in the past by Bigfoot people and other people, but not 500 times.
Right.
And this guy tells such a good, credible, look, I know this is insane. I'm a judge. I'm identifying myself who I am. Here's what happened.
Right.
So
I can't wait to hear the story.
That'll
it's
going to
be at 3 p.m. or 4 p.m.
Yeah, it's my understanding.
Yeah. I'm not sure.
Nobody is.
Rach, I said earlier today, I kind of stole your thunder because you're the one who said it first, that you think this is the year for the real disclosure of UFOs. Like, what makes you think that? Just the gut?
Because first of all, I saw a TikTok the other day of this guy who said that he used to work for the government. And this is all totally vetted. But he was saying it's coming soon. And I have a tendency to believe it, even though he's saying that with no evidence. But we're getting these documents soon that's going to tell us all about all of the government interactions with UFOs and such. And I don't know. I just feel like I feel it coming. I could be totally wrong. I'm willing to be wrong, but I think it's coming, and I think it's coming soon.
Do you think it is contact, or do you think it is admission from the government that these aircrafts are from another world? They're not, that technology is not coming.
I think we're going to have admission, and then shortly after, we're going to see them on TV or something.
Like contact.
That's just my gut. I'm sure a bunch of people out there listening think that I'm crazy, but it's just how I feel.
She's crazy.
I heard the zoo news.
Yeah, she heard the zoo news. They're communicating with her.
Something's wrong with me.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.